Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com and the law office of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. This is a community conference call being hosted only for the purpose of giving information to people. This call is not any kind of an indication that we represent you or you have to be represented by us. This call does not create an attorney-client relationship. Note also that this call is being recorded. It will be available publicly for people to listen to. So you may want to, if you don't want your voice to be recorded, and you know, one thing you can do is not speak up. But if you do speak up, what you can then do is keep your identity confidential. You can make up a name, call yourself Tom, Dick, Harry, Jane, Joan, Daisy, whatever you want to. But there's no need for you to reveal your true identity. That said, let me get started with the Tri-Valley issue. The way we do this is, I will have everybody, right now we are recording this call, as I said, and at the end of this, if you need to obtain a recording, you can contact monica@immigration.com. M as in Mary, O, N as in Nancy, I, C as in Charlie, A as in Apple, Monica, as the name Monica, @immigration.com. You can also send us mail to the Contact Us form on our website if you need a copy of the recording of this call. I will go over what I do know, what has been going on, what we don't know, and what I advise most people. After that, I will open the call for individual questions. Okay? Some of you had arranged for a paid consultation, and I had told my team not to charge people for a consultation. I try to avoid charging students as much as possible. So if your money has not been refunded, please go ahead and contact Leslie in our Stanton office, and the phone number is on our website on the top right hand side, and tell Leslie for that you need a refund that you had paid for the call. So nobody should have been charged for this call. Okay. Now, for the Tri-Valley School, first of all, everybody in this country is required to file an AR-11. So first order of business is you need to make sure that your AR-11 correctly reflects your address. Not having AR-11 properly filed can be a cause for deportation. Okay? It can be a cause for removal from the United States. So you want to make sure that your AR-11 correctly reflects where you actually live. I don't care about, you know, being a student in Tri-Valley and are you supposed to live in California. Don't worry about that part right now. We'll come to that in a minute. Most important thing is your AR-11 must be correctly filed. If you have not done so far, do it now. The law requires that every time you move, within 10 days, you've got to update your AR-11. And you can do it online. If you just look for, if you do a Google on AR-11, you should be able to come up with a website that provides you the links to AR-11. Okay? Second thing, it is my, now this is, we are heading, some of these areas we are heading into are actually gray. Some of these I don't know much about because they have been left by USCIS to be dealt by dealt with by DSOs, designated student officers, or designated school officers, I guess. I think it's student officers. DSOs are people in the university. Every school that you go to has a DSO in the international student's office, usually. They are designated, and they are given the power to update records of service, etc., and they have a lot of discretion in many things. Okay? So they are the people... Someone is telling me some people are trying to log in. I need to unlock the conference call. I have just opened the conference call again. I think I'll just leave the conference call open. And the reason I'll do that is, see, I don't like to keep the conference call open because I have made certain disclaimers. I'll just repeat the disclaimers for everybody. So going back to DSOs. The DSOs have a lot of discretion. They are given delegated authority by USCIS to make certain decisions. They cannot make all decisions, but they can make a lot of decisions. Your service entries and a lot of your things like optional practical training, etc., can be routed through DSOs, and they have a certain extent of authority. I will never know as much as they do about their own systems because I don't use those systems. So ultimately, I might ask a lot of you to go back and talk to the DSOs if you are trying to transfer schools to the DSOs in the school where you are transferring. Okay? So know that there are certain areas of the law we are not as good with as the DSOs are. You may have to go and refer to your DSOs for certain things. Third common principle is, this is the way I am approaching it. Make sure, if you have any questions, you have contacted USCIS ICE, actually ICE. There is a phone number, there is an email address that ICE has given. If you go to the ICE website, there is a PDF document that talks about what to do if a school closes. That document is not specifically meant for Tri-Valley students, but that document gives you, in general, information about how to approach your status situation if the school closes on you. And it deals with three or four different situations. That document deals with the situation where you are in the country and your school has closed on you and you're not finished yet, and there, it deals with people who are on OPT, or, you know, I think it deals with all the situations, three, four possible scenarios. What I want you to do is, there is an email address on that document. By the way, if you cannot find that document, you know what I'll do? I'll put that document on my blog today, by the end of the day, by 5 o'clock, I'll have it up on my blog, and you can download the document there. The document will tell you, if you don't know where my blog is, it's just go to immigration.com, and on the top panel of immigration.com, there's a link to immigration.com blog or Rajiv's blog, something like that it says. Okay, so go to my blog, and in today's entry, I would have posted that document, which gives you an email address for the government to be contacted. You can contact ICE with your questions. Now, let me warn you, they may never get back with you, but at least you would have made good faith efforts to find out about your situation and correct it. One danger, when you give your address to ICE, as the document requires, you open yourself to removal. Okay? But I don't see any other option. I think we have to be forthcoming and truthful about where we stand and what our questions are, and we should present them to ICE. Of course, you could also get a lawyer and send your questions through a lawyer to USCIS, and that way you may not have to, to ICE. That way you may not have to reveal your address. Okay? So I'll summarize for some of the latecomers what I have talked about so far. And I may have to summarize it several times because we've gone from 90 to about 130 participants, and I think a lot of people have not yet understood what I'm talking about. Basically, I've made a few recommendations. I've said make sure your AR-11s are properly updated so government knows where you actually are. People are still logging in. Well, guys, a lot of this information, like I said in the beginning of this call is being recorded, so you can go back and listen to it if you've missed something. I'll summarize things for you. Update your AR-11s. Make sure your AR-11 represents your true address. Number two, know that your DSOs, if you're trying to transfer schools, know a lot about the law in this area. You can contact them. Number three, I am going to post something on my blog today, a document from ICE, which tells you what to do in case your school goes out of business. That document also has an email address for ICE where you can send your questions. By sending your questions, people are still logging in. Guys, be on time. It becomes very difficult to manage a call this size. There's about 135 people now. So in any case, we'll repeat this call. Something like this, we'll repeat it again in future if we have to. The problem with writing ICE is when you send ICE an email, you have to divulge your address, and that can become a problem for deportation or removal, the only way around that is to go through a lawyer. If you can afford lawyers, you can gang up and get a lawyer to represent, at least not to represent, to at least ask your questions of all of you, for all of you. Or, you know, something like that could be done. And I'm not suggesting that you hire us. Anybody can do that. Basically, you're just trying to make sure that you have asked the questions of the government. In doing that, you have shown your good faith, that you're trying to keep your status proper. Okay? So, with that said, what we will do is, I'm summarizing the points again because we're up to about 150 now. I'm summarizing the points. AR-11 must be filed. Contact, if you're trying to transfer schools, contact your DSOs in the school that you're transferring to. The DSO is an officer in the International Students Office who can guide you well, hopefully. Number three, I will post something on my blog today, which the blog entry will tell you how to contact ICE. It's actually a release from ICE. You all probably already have it, but if you don't, I'll post it on the blog today. It's a PDF document, and you can write to ICE. Now, everybody needs to keep in mind this call is being recorded, so keep your identity confidential. I'm going to lock this call again because I think everybody has logged in now. Okay, now people are still logging in, but I'm going to lock this call because otherwise I just keep repeating myself. Sumanji, if anybody else says that they can't log in and they contact our office, tell them that the call is being recorded. We've got 150 people online already, and it just doesn't stop. So at some point, we just have to put an end to it. Otherwise, I keep repeating some of the information again and again. This call does not create an attorney-client relationship between us. Just because you asked some questions and I answered them does not mean we represent you. We don't represent anybody unless we sign something in writing. And you are not obligated to pay us a penny unless we sign something with you. So it goes both ways. We don't represent you. You don't get represented by us. Number two, this call is being recorded. Under federal law, I'm required to warn you, if you don't want your voice to be recorded, don't speak up or, just don't join the conversation. You can listen in. And I do recommend very strongly, make up a name if you want to talk and ask a question. Make up a name because this call will be publicly available. And I've told everybody how to get a copy of this call by writing to Monica or sending us an email through the contact us form. Okay? Now, I'm going to open this call to some questions. One more additional point I wanted to make. Some people asked me yesterday. People have been making individual appointments despite me telling them not to. They've been paying for it. So yesterday, a couple of people talked to me, and I told them. They asked me, well, we have an OPT. What do we do? The way I look at it, unless USCIS sends you something in writing that says your OPT is invalid, I don't see any reason for us to panic. But I have told these people, go ahead and apply for your H-1 anyway, okay? Because if they are going to take away your OPT, you want to make sure that you've got the ball rolling on the H-1, okay? I don't have anything else to add. I'm going to open the conference call to questions. Let's do it in an orderly fashion, and let us not repeat questions. Once we cover a topic and 10 people have the same problem, they already know the answer. That way we'll be able to cover the most ground. In order to ask a question, press *6 on your phone. *6. Go ahead, please. One by one.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay.
Hello.
One way to do this is just make up a name and say, this is John, and that way I know who to call upon.
This is Vamsi.
Vamsi. Go ahead, Vamsi. That's the name
yes.
I got.
Basically, my fiance, she was interviewed by Homeland Security officials, and they gave her the notice to appear in front of the judge in Chicago, Illinois. And
so they're trying to deport her, basically.
Yeah, so basically the question I have is, can we opt for voluntary departure and go back to India and come back on a H-4 visa?
As far as I know, yes, but I'm not an expert in removal proceedings. Okay? What you need to do is, you need to talk with the lawyer locally where she is. I think in removal proceedings, the matters are serious enough that if possible, you should get yourself a lawyer, appear for the notice to appear hearing, and ask the judge for voluntary departure. I believe that should be available. Yes.
Okay. Okay, and if we get opt for voluntary departure, would there be any problem for her to enter back as a H-4?
No, I don't believe so, because remember, unless you have actively participated in the fraud in some way, you should not be held responsible for it.
Okay.
How can you actively participate? Like if you give a fictitious address, if you give an address in California where you're living in New Jersey, now that's fraud. That could become a problem. You definitely want to make an individual appointment with a lawyer then.
Okay.
Because that could have a whole set of new issues. In your case, if there was no active fraud on your part, you can go ahead and just appear for the NTA with a lawyer and ask for voluntary departure.
Okay, and do I definitely need a lawyer to appear in front of the judge and ask for voluntary departure?
Sumanji, press *6 on your phone. Do me a favor. Can you ask Sam if people can appear for an NTA by themselves? And I'm going to ask a colleague of mine who does a lot of deportation cases.
Okay.
And what we will do is we will Sumanji, note it down as a frequently asked question.
Sure.
And we'll answer your question on my blog within the next 2 or 3 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Sir, my name is Ash. I heard Ash.
Yes. Hi. This is me. So I actually have a question regarding my wife's situation. Currently, yesterday what I did was went ahead and e-filed for her H-4 transfer online.
Good.
And we got the EAC number right now, so does that mean she is actually in some kind of status while the processing is going on?
I think she's very safe. I wouldn't say that she's 100% protected, but I would say she's as protected as she can be. Because now, you have made your effort to put her back into status, okay? Her I-94 should say DS, right? Her I-94 doesn't expire, right?
No, she has a valid H-4 visa on her passport till June 2011.
But did she convert to F-1 status?
Yes, she did transfer to F-1 status for her. She has a valid visa with H-4, though.
Okay, no, I'm not concerned about that. The I-94... Do you have the I-94 with you, Ash?
Yes, we do have it.
Okay, look at the date of expiration on the I-94. Does it say DS?
Okay, I don't have that handy.
Okay, just double check it. If it does not say DS, if it has a specific date, you want to make an individual appointment.
While we're doing the H-4 transfer, let's just say something went right with USCIS and they do allow transfers for the students. Can we revert back or just set up another F-1 reinstatement while the H-4 processing is going on?
There are options, but it all depends upon what problem the USCIS has with you. Okay.
Okay. And one last question.
Hang on, Ash. It's a little premature for us to decide what to do. Whatever you could do, you have already done, which is file for an H-4.
Okay.
Only thing I want you to do is check your I-94, your wife's I-94. DS-1 I-94 should say DS. When does it expire? DS. If it says DS, sit tight and do nothing. If it has a specific date of expiration, make an appointment with a lawyer and talk to them.
Hello, sir. My name is Dolly. Do I have a chance to
speak? I just have one last question, sir.
Ash, go ahead.
I just have one last question, sir. I refiled the H-4, and we are sending the supporting documents probably today or tomorrow. The question that I had was, would it help if I personally address something as part of the documentation to the USCIS with some supporting documentation? Like, my wife actually was on a part-time CPT last semester, and she was actually was on the CPT in the curriculum that she was studying in. So she was actually like a programmer analyst while she was taking a course computer science master's. So would it be helpful if I just address the USCIS saying, you know, we're kind of victims here, and I also put the, all the legal case steps that she got, and also the document, the CPT authorization that she got from the school, and also kind of explain what the situation was and kind of requested. Would that be helpful with the regular H4 finance, you know, the documents that we send in?
I am inclined not to do that until they send you an RFC. Okay.
Okay. So do I have a chance to speak up now?
Okay. So, Ash, do you have anything else?
I think that's all.
Okay, guys, everybody put yourself on mute until you're ready to talk, please. Dolly, go ahead.
Sir, my situation is like I have been with Tri-Valley for just one semester. I don't know what I need to do. I don't know where I need to go. Could you please guide me, like,
yes,
there are my possible options at all?
The document that I am going to post today from ICE, that document tells you if you want to transfer school, you have to contact the DSO of the school that you want to transfer to, and they should be able to guide you.
Okay, and my question would be, do I have a chance to transfer schools and be of a legal status? Maybe Strayer University or something like that?
You mean Strayer? Yes, I believe so. Because, see, as long as you have yourself personally not actively participated in any fraud, you have a good faith case to make before the government that you have a case for transferring schools. So, yes.
I'm not currently residing in California. Will that be...
Yeah, that's...
They never asked any address or anything,
yeah,
so I never provided any. So
that's okay.
That
like I said, as long as you have not lied about anything, you at least have some shot at getting status into another school.
Dolly,
go ahead.
How long do we have to get back into status? What are the status?
Then right away.
No, I have a relative who is to help, but how can he help me?
You have to contact the new school right away. The most your family members can do for you is, unless you're married to a U.S. citizen, the most your family members can do for you is they can provide financial support documentation for the second school that you're transferring. Dolly? Dolly, you have any other questions?
Yes. Can I get the details of your blog? I just recently joined this thing. I don't know where I
just go to immigration.com.
Sorry?
Immigration.com. That's easy to remember. Just go to www.immigration.com. And on the very top ribbon on immigration.com, you'll see immigration.com blog.
Okay.
You click on that. You click on that. You'll come to my blog. I will make the entry today, later today. So about 5 o'clock or so, I should have something up for you guys.
Hi, Rajiv.
Okay. Dolly, just one second. I'm not going to hang up until I address everybody's questions. Don't worry. We are going to... So just sit tight. Just be patient a little bit. Dolly, you have any other questions?
No, sir. I think I'm done for now. And I can get back, ask the other questions as I have them, right?
Can ask other questions. Maybe not today, but we can do another follow-up call. I have to address a lot of issues, okay? Sit tight.
All right. Here?
Hi, Rajiv. Funny here.
Funny, go ahead. I got Funny.
This is Sunny.
Sunny, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi Rajiv, my case is that actually I am with Tri-Valley, but I was working on OPT and CPT in New York, and now I have got a full-time job elsewhere who is ready to, and the company is ready to file my H-1.
Right. Sunny, go ahead and get your H-1 done as quickly as possible.
Okay. The question is, now that the services, I don't know what the status of the service is, but when the company or the attorney who is trying to file my H-1, what do I give him? What is the information
your
that I have to tell
him? You should tell them you're still on F-1.
Okay.
Because INS has never formally revoked your status.
Yes.
Okay. The way I look at
previously,
it...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but previously I had an H-1. I was working, then I transferred to F-1.
That is actually a very good situation because you're not subject to the quota then.
Yes. My H-1 is, I mean, it's still valid. It's still valid till next year, around September.
See, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
That doesn't matter. what matters is that you are not subject to the quota. Go ahead and get your H1 done. If there are any issues, your H1 lawyers can handle them. Don't worry.
Okay. So I don't see any situation where I have to panic or
I will. When I say panic, then you panic.
Okay.
Until I say.
Now this is Suman.
Hi, Suman. I heard somebody say their name is Suman.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Suman. And I actually joined Tri-Valley last year, August. And I've been working, I took a semester break with them. Came back to India. Came back from India on 2018. And the only question I have right now is I just want to go back to India, and do you think it will be on the record if I don't meet the IDE and go back to India?
What you should do is, people who just want to go back, send an email to ICE giving them all your particulars and say that I'm leaving, I was going back anyway, and make sure you keep a copy of that email.
Yeah, but do you think it will be on my record, and if I apply for my H1?
I think you're going to be fine, because as long as you have not committed any fraud, what you can tell them is, and this is even better, that way the government also likes it and it's good for you also. Just tell them that if you need to contact me for any information against Tri-Valley, feel free to contact me at this email address.
Okay.
You see, that way what you've done is you volunteered to help the government. You're not skipping town. You have volunteered to help the government in case they need your help.
Hi, Rajiv. Rajiv, this is Sushant.
Ma'am, what is your name, please? Make up a name.
My name is Usha.
Usha, go ahead. What is your question?
Yeah, hi Rajiv, I completed my first semester in this university.
Mm-hmm.
And just on before the college is closed, just one day before, I have taken the CPT.
Okay.
Just the CPT letter, and I did not attempt any assessment. And others, I'm not doing any job. Just I have taken CPT, and next day I stopped and cancelled my offer letter, everything.
Okay.
Now I want to transfer to another university, but they're asking my CV. It's not valid. If the U.S. government take any decision, I cannot transfer to another university.
Oh, so you contacted them and they said your service is not valid?
No, I did not contact it. But another university people are saying that without U.S. government decision, we can't take you, they are saying. But I did not do any mistake.
Okay, what you need to do is contact 2-3 different schools. Because remember, a DSO in one school is not necessarily as educated as everybody else. So you could have DSOs who are more better versed with the USCIS regulations and others. And I'm not surprised. I know that service records can be a problem. But at least contact 2-3 different schools. If everybody tells you the same thing, in the meantime, you do want to contact the government through the address that I will post. Contact the government and let them know, you're trying to transfer schools, what should you be doing? You're worried about maintaining status. If you have a choice to get on to H1, apply for an H1 as well. If you don't have a choice to go on an H1, all you can do is talk to a few DSOs, see if you can get a transfer done either within USA or going outside USA and getting a visa stamp.
And
did
I do any mistake because I come directly to this university? I completed just one semester with all my...
No, courses. I don't see... what have you done? I don't see anything that you have done wrong. You came in good faith. You didn't do anything fraudulent, right? You didn't fill out any paperwork that was untrue.
I have attended all the online classes also.
Yeah. And you have attended all the school, whatever the courses and all were, you attended all of them.
I don't see what you have, Usha. Usha.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about there being anything wrong with
Sahasra.
Ram.
Ram
here.
Okay, hang on. Ram, one second, guys. Everybody just calm down. Usha, you have any other questions for me?
Yeah, Rajiv, am I eligible? Can I transfer to another university if the CGS releases?
Yes, of course. I believe you can. I told you the best person to answer the question are the DSOs.
Yeah.
Okay, Usha. You have any other questions?
Yes. No more. Thank you.
KK, Rajiv.
I have a name, Ram, somewhere. Ram.
Yeah, I'm Ram.
Hang on one second. Hey guys, put yourself on mute.
Put yourself on mute, please.
We will address everybody's questions. Don't worry. Okay. So Ram, go ahead.
Yeah. My wife, she's on Facebook, and she's on Facebook.
Hang on. There's a lot of echo on the line. Let me see if I can fix this. Just give me one second. Okay, Ram, I'll get back to you. Just one second. Ram, press star 6 to unmute yourself. Ram, go ahead.
Rajiv?
No, wait, ma'am. Ram, go ahead.
Yeah. So actually, my wife, she was on H4, and she converted from H4 to F1. And now she wants to fly back to India, and her H4 visa actually expired. So she wants to go to consulate there, and she wants to come in. And do we have any issues at port of entry or H4 stamping there in India?
I don't think so. As long as you have not committed any fraud yourself, not given any wrong information to the government, I think getting an H4 should be as easy or as difficult as it is for anybody else.
Okay. And do we need to contact anyone before we leave?
I want you to, yes, definitely inform ICE about what you're doing.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
And make your willingness to have the government with their investigation known.
Okay, I
heard KK and Tony. KK, go first. Tony, go second. KK, what is it?
Hi, KK. I Raj, this is KK. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
I was on H1, okay, that is valid till 2011, okay, and prior to that I was on F and then OPT, okay. So when I went back to India last year, I got 14 queries on my H1, so I took some 3 to 4 months break, and I attended F1 visa again, so I got approved. As soon as I come out here, I came on some ex-college. And as soon as I come out here, I got the offer from TVU that I can do PhD also at their university. As I got already master's degree, so I said, okay, this is a good option for me to do PhD. So, and when I approached them, they said that no need to attend the in-class. So just you can attend the online classes, and if you want, you can work on CPT.
Okay.
So as I already had working experience in US, so I thought it's a good option. And first semester, I'm almost like most of the first semester, I did not work on CPT. But at the end of first semester, I got the opportunity in a software company. So I worked on CPT. Now, my question is, like, shall I go ahead? And because my I have another offer from in the month of February. Okay. So my employer is saying that, like, he can do my H1 filing with my old approved H1. That means, like, I'll be not considering in the regular quota, right?
You and, are not subject to the quota if you have not been outside USA for more than 1 year after getting your H1. And yes, you should convert to H1, definitely.
I will be considered as a fresh applicant, but I'll be not coming to the regular quota, right? I can put the approved petition, and with that one I can apply, right?
Well, I'm not going to help you fill the form, but the answer is yes, you can do it. How are you going to leave it to your lawyer?
Okay. And one more thing, like, again, I went back to that ex-college, and I approached the DSO. They said that, okay, we can, you are still active student over here. So regarding the service transfer, you had to contact SCVP, but we can enroll you into the classes. So, I mean, like, without the service transfer, I mean, they are not giving any acceptance letters or nothing like that. So they are saying that you can enroll into the classes to maintain the status. So shall I attend these classes, and meanwhile, can I proceed with my H1?
I don't see why not. This is not Tri-Valley, right? This is some other school?
Yeah, this is Tri-Valley. This is not Tri-Valley. I transferred from Tri-Valley to some X again.
Some other school, and that school can put you in status by giving you full-time classes, 9 credits, whatever it is.
Okay.
I don't see any problem with it.
I mean, like, service is with Tri-Valley now, right?
Yeah, but the DSO of the transferring school says that they can give you a service entry without any problem. Then there is no issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, they are saying that they are unable to transfer my service because my service is locked with.
Unable to transfer. Yeah, I think what you need to do is what I just discussed the issue with Usha just a few minutes ago. I said, talk to a couple of different DSOs, see if there's a way out. If there isn't, let ICE know. And in the meantime, convert to H1. And if the government raises this issue, how have you maintained status? Make it clear that without any fault of yours, that school went under, and you contacted ICE. Here's a copy of the email. You wanted to know what to do. How do I transfer to another school? In the meantime, you got the H1. So it's not your fault that you're out of status.
I do not want to contact ICE directly. I want to contact, like, with your law firm. So how
can
I approach
them? What you do is call Sumanji. Sumanji, shall I have them call or shall I give them your email address? What do you prefer?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Should I have them call or should I have them just email you?
Email may be better and then I can call them. They can put their...
I think I don't want to give your email address to somebody. Guys, just do this. Just go to the Contact Us form. The Contact Us form on our website, immigration.com. And just send Suman an email. That email actually is checked by Sumanji directly. So just send an email to the Contact Us form. I will see what I can do for you.
Yeah, you said that update your AR-11 form, right? So, will that matter in our case now? Through IQ.
Does your AR-11 reflect where you live right now?
No, it doesn't, because actually I came to know about the AR-11 with you only now.
Okay, no. So go ahead and update your AR-11. I really don't care whether, if the government is going to come after you, they're going to come after you. But you've got to do the AR-11. That is the ground for deportation.
Okay.
Hi, this is Sweetie.
Hi, one second.
KK, Tony.
KK, are you
there? Rajesh. Rakesh.
Rakesh and Sweetie. I have one more guy whose name I said after KK.
Raju, I have one more question. I'm right. Can I enroll into those classes because they're asking me to pay the tuition fee and attend the classes to maintain the status?
I don't understand. You can ask ICE that question, and let us have them answer that question for us. If you are filing for the H1, I don't see any point of wasting money.
Okay. So, better is file for H1, right?
Go for H1 right away, yes, sir.
Hi, Rajiv.
Hi, this is Preeti.
Okay, is it Preeti or Preeti or Sweetie?
Preeti.
Preeti, go ahead.
Hi, Sweetie. Hi, Rajiv. I'm sorry. I just came from India. I got stamped in India for Tri-Valley PhD. This is my first semester in U.S. I was supposed to attend the classes starting from Jan 16th. I just had one class. This is my first semester. I came from India. I'm in Chicago right now. So what are my options? I tried contacting other schools. They were telling me that your service is on hold. We cannot transfer you.
Okay.
So if I change my program from PhD to Master's, so will there be any problem with my service? Can I go for a new service or do you want me to stay on PhD itself?
No.
And,
if changing programs gets you a new service and gets you back into status, do it.
Can I do that? I mean, if I change my program?
I don't know. I don't deal with service. It's only your DSOs who can guide you on that.
Okay, can I give them a call? I mean, they are saying that yes, you can, but still we want to hear it from USCIS.
I think you should go ahead and give them, talk to different DSOs and get one who is willing to do it without having to talk to USCIS.
Okay, so it's like I came from India, I was in Chicago. I gave the same address at the university, and I didn't do anything. This is my first semester. I just came back from India.
No, I agree. I don't think it's your fault. Unfortunately, you are stuck in a situation where all you can do is try to regularize your status as best as you can. And even taking steps towards making sure that you're doing it will help you. So contact ICE. Let them know what's going on. Ask for their direction. In the meantime, talk to other DSOs. We are going to have a follow-up call on this, and we'll see where everybody is at in a week or so, okay? But right now, just do the best you can.
Raju, this is Rakesh.
No, actually, I'm still with Preeti, guys. Give me one second. Go ahead, ma'am.
Actually, my fiancé is on F1. Can I actually
convert to F2, not a bad idea. But he's your fiance. You're not married to him right now, right?
Yes.
You would have to be married to him to convert to F2.
I mean, can we do that in U.S.?
Yes, you can.
Okay. And can I call ICE regarding my service? Can I personally call them, or do you want me to go through a law firm?
I want you to send an email simply because it keeps a record of it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, and I will post the document that contains the email addresses today on my blog.
Thank you, sir.
Are you welcome? Rakesh. Yeah, Rakesh. I already completed my 3 semesters there.
Right.
And I converted from H1 to F1.
Okay.
Month of January, and I got approval in February.
Okay.
And my wife was also on H1 before.
Okay.
She don't want to come on H1. Then I sent her papers for F2. And she went stamp on 21st.
Okay.
Of this month, and they said they can't give a visa, and they rejected, and they said your husband is on illegal status since 3 days, and the school was closed, seized. And he guided her to tell me I go to the immigration and withdraw all my case and come back. But because he said I'm staying illegal since 3 days.
Well, nobody has informed you that directly. As soon as you found out about it, you are taking steps to cure that. Make sure your AR-11 is properly updated and contact ICE through that email address.
Well, because I'm staying the same address before, but I recently moved because of my job.
Okay.
I was staying in Boston before still. I'm in my school. My address is in Boston itself.
Okay. Well, you need to update your AR-11. You have 10 days to do that after you move. So do that.
Okay.
And in the meantime, send an email out to ICE informing them about your circumstances and asking them for instructions on what to do.
And one more thing. My company, they're doing H1 for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that get approved? Again, can I send my wife for H4?
Yes. If the H1 gets approved, you should be able to send your wife for the H4.
Thanks. Yeah. So if I want to go back too, so you want me to send an email and keep a copy of that, and I can go back to India if I want to?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mary, go ahead. Mary?
Hi, this is Mary. I was at H4. Previously, I decided to study, so I changed to F1. And I did my TBU, my one semester with TBU. And I was at CPT, and I was working related to my field study. And right now, I'm not working due to this situation. So I applied for the some other school. They asked my documents also and transcript, and I forwarded to them. They told they will let me know whether the USCIS is transferring I-20 and CVS to for me or not. Is it a good option which I'm choosing, or whether I need to go back for H4?
I think it's okay, but you can also apply for H4 at the same time.
So if I apply for H4 at the same time, my F1 will be gone, right?
It'll go until the H4 is approved, which might take a few months. If in the meantime the F1 gets approved, then you can withdraw the H4. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Here?
Okay.
This is Vasu.
Here? I heard Vasu.
Raja?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. This is Vasu.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, actually, I spoke to SEVP thrice till now, and even I spoke to them today morning.
Right.
I told them that I'm a student at Tri Valley, and they told me straight away that all the Tri Valley students' CVs has been terminated.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked them what is it that I'm supposed to do, they told me we haven't got any guidelines till now, so we don't know what we should tell you.
Uh-huh.
And they said that the two IC officers generally cover the students in the place I am right now. One is Washington, D.C., the other one being Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that no guidelines have been given, and we would want you to wait till Thursday, that is tomorrow, till we decide what we are going to do, and then you can contact them. We give you phone numbers.
Good.
So do you think we should wait till Thursday?
At least send out emails, because that way I feel that creates a record of your good faith efforts to to, you know, keep the government informed and ask the government for instructions. It's a very strange situation where the school status is terminated. You have no control over it.
Yes, and actually I wanted to know if suppose they give us a phone number and they're asked to come and meet our people with ICE, do we need to contact a lawyer first before we go and meet them and talk to them?
I think you definitely want to contact us one time before you go. I want to make sure that if you are going to be put into proceedings, you have somebody representing you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Hi, Rajiv. This is
Shiva here.
I heard Shiv. Shiv, go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Shiva. I just have a couple of questions. First of all, I've been in my recent address in the tribal university. So, is the AR 11 similar to
this? AR 11 must have your correct current address.
I already updated with my current address in the university while I was working in
CPT.
So, still I need to update my AR-11?
No, Shiva, if you have already... Now, hang on 1 second. Make sure, I think if the government already has your most recent address... Let me go back and rephrase this. If... From the date you entered USA on student visa, you have not changed your address, there is no need to do an AR-11.
Oh,
okay?
Okay.
But if you entered USA and changed address at any point of time, even if you have, in CPT, you gave the new address, you should do an AR-11. Okay? So, be on the safe side, it doesn't cost anything, do an AR-11 anyway.
Okay, and my second question is, right now I was working in CPT till last week, and I just stopped going to office from this Monday, and I have a couple of questions. I have already have my H-1 from my previous employer, so if I file my H-1, I don't have any valid status right now, so will it be a problem? Like, will I get any queries while I do my H-1 and premium processing?
Even if you do, Shira, that's not something you can avoid, and I think when somebody's status has been violated, not because of any fault of their own, the government should have a sympathetic ear to give you an H-1 within the US. So it's not like we have a choice. Go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Hi, Rajiv. It's Sunny here.
Rajiv, Jason here.
I heard Jason and then Anna. Hang on. Please? Hang on. Shiva, you have anything else?
Yes, I have one more question.
Yeah?
Actually, I have all the records of my pay stubs and everything, and I didn't do anything illegal. Unfortunately, the university got shut down. So, if I want to go to India right now and come back later at some point of time, so what is the best way? Do I need to proceed with a lawyer?
No, I think what you need to do is send ICE an email saying that you are proceeding to India, whatever your reasons are, whether you're not sure of your status, and just say that I'm available at this email for any further questions you might have about Tri-Valley University. I intend to fully cooperate with the government.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hi, Rajiv.
Hang on. Please, guys.
Hi, Dinesh. Yeah.
Guys.
Rajiv, Jason here.
No, nobody talk right now. Just 1 second. Shiva, are we done?
Yes, thanks, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Good luck. Jason, you are next.
Thank you, Rajiv. Jason here. So I'm one of the students who's pursuing PhD in Tri-Valley, and unfortunately, due to the situation, I've been suggested to apply for an F1 transfer to other universities.
Right.
And I've contacted a couple of other universities which have a similar problem like TVU. They have online courses and they are not accredited. But looks like they are the only universities which are at least willing to transfer my F1. And some of my friends have been suggesting that it will be the same case all over again if I transfer to these.
Well, I don't know the answer to that question, because accreditation, I'm not sure, is a prerequisite or a prerequisite for getting the authority to issue I-20. As long as the school has the authorization to issue I-20, what I would do is, if I were you, again...
Can we also listen to the inter-the universities, please?
ITU and another one is University of Northern Virginia.
Okay, guys, let me suggest something to you. If you guys want to talk to each other, I'll leave you online so you can talk with each other later on. I will also, Sumanji.
Yes.
In our forum, start a separate group under, let me just see. Guys, hang on. Let me just set something up for you so you can talk to each other. Forums.immigration.com. Sumanji, is Monica in the office?
Probably not.
Okay. You call her on her cell phone.
Okay.
And tell her to set up a new group under F and G visas, under F visas.
Okay.
And that group actually it should be easy to find. It's got to be put somewhere where it's easy to find. Hang on 1 second. Guys, I'm trying to set something up here so that everybody has a forum to talk with each other. Immigrant visa.
Hey.
Put it under other important visas and issues. No, it's not visas. That's not the issue. Advocacy efforts, general information, other countries. Huh, I don't know where to put this. Give me 1 second. In the meantime, someone see if she can be located.
Sure.
Under F and G visas, tell her to create a new forum. And it should be called, what is the name of the school? Tri Valley, guys?
Tri Valley University.
And similar closing. Similar school closing. Okay, and the explanation should be that this forum has been organized to help people help each other regarding information on what to do when the school closes down. Okay?
Set this up
today, guys. This will be available at forums.immigration.com. Somebody tell her to do it right away.
Okay.
So I can tell people that's up and running. And I'll put a link to this forum on my blog.
Okay. Hey, Raji, one last question. Jason here.
Yeah, Jason.
So I'm also working on CPP. And I stopped working for the past 3 days after I came to know about Tri-Valley University.
Right.
Do you think I can go work until a resolution is found?
That's a very difficult question for me to answer. I prefer that you don't, simply because it shows our good faith. I prefer that you don't work. But if there is something that, you know, client is going to get hurt or something is, you know, very urgent, it's got to be completed. I think if you have to, you have to. Until they send you some formal notice, I don't see how the government can claim that you're supposed to stop working. Okay? But make sure your AR-11 has your correct address so your notices can be sent to you at the correct address.
Thank
you.
Hey,
also,
hey, Raju,
if you want to be even more comfortable with this, you can send the government an email saying that, you know, it appears that, you know, I have not received any formal notice. Should I discontinue working or what do you want to do?
Isn't that an invitation for deportation?
Everything is an indication for deportation. The fact that your school's status has been revoked, you can be put in removal.
Hey, Raju, this is Jack.
Yeah, 1 second, sir. I'm not done yet. All we are trying to do is figure out the best possible practical way. The law is absolutely against us. There's
okay, Raju, one more thing. This is the worst case scenario. If I'm trying to, you know, go out of house and, you know, not be in the house when, you know, I see agents come to my home. So if I get an indication that I see is my doorstep, if I go out of this country to India, when I try to come back again, will there be anything in my record that I evaded?
I have just told everybody, as long as you have not done any active fraud, you are going to leave USA. Make sure you send ICE an email saying that I'm leaving. If you need to contact me, here is my email address. I intend to fully cooperate with the government.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Jack, Tony, hang on 1 second. Priya, I have already talked with you, right? Priya?
No, sir, you didn't talk to me.
Okay, so I talked with another Priya, so hang on. Jack, then Tony, then Priya. Jack, go ahead.
Okay. Hey,
thank you.
Hey, Raju, actually, I am on Tri-Valley F1 and my wife, she is on F2. Can she take the admission in some other school and can go on F1? I can go on F2.
Will that be okay?
I believe so. Yes, why not?
And another question is usually when is the time frame when we are on violation?
Well, technically the day they revoke the status of trialing.
Okay. Another question is, okay, actually, earlier I was working on H1 and my H1 got over for 5 years, 3 months, and still I have 8 more months to go for 6 years to complete.
Mm-hmm.
If I continue working after 6 years, then do I need to leave the country for 1 year and
yes.
I have to back?
Unless you have filed a green card.
Okay.
You will have to leave, but if you file the green card quickly enough, you may not have to leave because you can recapture the time that you were on F1, and you might be able to recapture the time. You will be able to recapture the time you were outside USA.
Oh, okay. That's all I have. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Who was next, guys? No. I had mentioned 3 names. Who was next in that?
Yeah, line? Tony Rajesh.
Tony, go ahead.
Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Tony, go ahead.
Hi, sir. I came to USA 2006. On F1,
okay.
And complete my graduation in 2008.
Okay.
And I applied H1 and it got rejected, and I took CPT. I was working
okay.
for 1 year, but they haven't responded with any of the courses.
Okay.
I sent an email mentioning that since you haven't responded, can I transfer my device? And I came to Tri-Valley.
Right.
And Tri-Valley, I registered like 6 months with Tri-Valley, and my device now has been terminated. Even Tri-Valley has not contacted me back in terms of making the payments. They haven't contacted me back with any of the study curriculum or any of that stuff. But they gave me CPT authorization, so I have been working for the last 6 months. So I'm now kind of scared whether...
can you please put yourselves on mute, please, so we can listen to each other? Okay. Tony?
Yeah, the last part was, will the ICE or the USCIS agents would be looking for any education-related documents? Because I've been telling Tri-Valley, I called them at least twice during the last 6 months, asking them to send me any of the education-related documents or for me any of the curriculum that they need to attend, but they haven't responded yet. But I've been working on CPT. So is there anything illegal that
I've
been doing?
I don't know. See, obviously, the government thinks that this whole operation was illegal. So, have you done anything illegal? Yes. Have you done it knowingly? The answer is no. So, that's what...
No, I seriously even called them at least twice or four times.
Right. So, whatever has happened has been beyond your control, right? So, that
yeah,
would be your argument.
I don't have any... I've spoken to a couple of the Taiwanese students who stay in the same area, and they were like, they have been visited by that ICE agents, and they were asking for any particular proof of education, like any exams have you attended, or any of the training have you taken, or any other information as a solid proof. And I don't have anything in my hand right now,
no,
so I'm kind of scared for that.
Look, you did your best. You contacted the university as many times as you could, and they didn't give you anything. What can you do about it?
Yeah, but I'm now, Raju, my second question was, I'm trying to now go to or apply for H1.
Guys, put yourself on mute. I'm sorry, Tony, hang on a second. These people, guys, mute yourselves, please. Otherwise, I'll mute it. Okay, Tony, you were saying what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Planning to change my status now.
Uh-huh.
Ready to apply. But because of the CY termination, ask any query on that?
Well, if you get query, you get query. I think you are going to get a query, but you've got to deal with it. It is what it is. Best thing you can do is convert status.
Yeah, but I came to this status because my H1 got rejected. Madam.
Well,
again, so what do you suggest? To stay here, to H1 or to go back?
I think you should try to file an H1 premium process and see what happens. As long as you have not done anything improper, I don't see any problem with trying for the next step.
Okay, my last question, Rajiv. Will I get my H1? Am I legal?
If they give you an I-94 within USA, you are legal, yeah.
I-94 is issued based on Tri-Valley. Now that is no longer valid.
No, but the government can choose to... Hang on 1 second. I'm going to mute everybody and you can continue to start. Tony, press star 6 to talk to me. Tony?
Yes, Raj.
Okay.
Rajiv, I'm there. This is Tony.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm asking about the I-94.
Right, and the I-94 is, the government can choose to forgive your being out of status if they want to.
So how
and
do
that's
we get
what
notified,
we are aiming
Raj?
For. The aim is to tell them, look, it's not my fault.
Yeah, so should I contact them?
Should I just wait for the response? No, I think sending an email to the government is a good idea anyway.
Okay.
Okay, and if you are concerned about being deportable and all that, then do it through a lawyer. Don't do it yourself.
Okay, all right. That's all I have.
Are you Suresh here?
Okay, I got Suresh. I got
Suresh. Hi, Rajiv, this is Suresh.
Okay, Suresh, you go ahead.
Rajiv, I am a student of Tri-Valley. I master's in 2008, December.
Right.
And I was on OPT legally for 1 year and I didn't get any job, so I joined Tri-Valley on January 2010.
Okay.
And I went for a summer break. I finished one semester in spring 2010, went for a summer break to India.
Okay.
And I got my visa extended on Tri-Valley.
All right.
Because I have given only 3.5 years in the initial period and I got 5 more years right now.
Okay.
And I came in the fall semester again to US.
Okay.
And took my fall semester at Tri-Valley and went back to India in December for 1 month for my wedding and I came back on January the 18th.
Okay.
So my visa right now is on Tri-Valley and on my I-94 it says F1DS.
Right.
So what does that mean? I am on a legal student visa now, right?
No, the problem is just because the I-94 says DS, it doesn't mean you are automatically in status. It just means your unlawful presence in USA, unlawful presence is when you get subject to 3 or 10 year bar. Your unlawful presence doesn't begin to run until the government sends you an official notification revoking your case. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So it protects you from very bad things happening, but it doesn't protect you from bad things happening.
Okay.
The DS is good for you because it stops you from being subject to unlawful presence until the government actually revokes. And then the 180-day period begins to run. Okay?
So until I get any notification or any legal notice, I'm in a good status.
Well,
good
you're not in good status, but you're not in really, really bad position. Okay?
Right.
You're still out of status, but you can. The government cannot subject you to 3 year or 10 year bar from entering the USA.
Okay, they can bar me like that without any reason.
They can.
Okay, one question, Raju. I'm also in the same situation of other students. I contacted like 3-4 universities, the DSOs, and they said the same thing, you know, unless until the USCIS or immigration people release the CVs, we can transfer you into our university, and we need to wait till what they say.
Right, and somebody just said that they were going to release something by this Thursday. So let's see what they do, but in the meantime, send them an email anyway and keep a copy.
Okay, and one more quick question, Rajiv. And I haven't been contacted by any of the officers till now because I'm currently staying in Texas and I don't know what kind of address the Tri-Valley have there on my service. So what I heard...
update your AR-11.
Okay, that's what you told me before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And will that be like an invitation for the officers to my current address to interrogate me?
I don't think we have a choice.
Okay.
Because if you don't do it, you are removable anyway.
Okay, that's true.
Yep, it's not like we have a choice. This is not a really very complicated legal decision. Now, if you had committed fraud, then I would have to send you to a criminal defense lawyer and say, you know what, talk to this lawyer and see what you should be doing.
Because this
no
is address where I got my travel ID.
I will have to send you to a criminal defense lawyer and say, look, you know, this is more serious than just an immigration violation now. You need to talk with somebody who needs to protect you in case ICE comes after you for criminal prosecution. So if you have not committed fraud, AR-11, what is it going to do? Maximum, ICE will contact you and they can try to remove you? Well, so be it. At least you're not being exposed to anything more damaging than that. And if they don't do it, at least you have some good faith defense against the future visa issuance or change of status.
That's true. What I heard
before, Pooja?
Rajiv, I have one last question, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Pooja, you'll be next.
I have
Pooja, and then there was Priya, right? Priya is here also? Priya?
Yeah, sir.
Okay, Priya is next, and then Pooja. Go ahead, please, sir.
Rajiv, I'm going to do my IR-11 right now, and if somebody, like the officers, come here. So what I heard, a few attorneys, they were telling, don't talk anything before the immigration officers unless until you have an attorney. Just tell them, you know, I want my attorney to be present if I want to talk something.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. The reason it's not a bad idea is if you have done something wrong, if
right.
you have committed any fraud, if the government is going to charge you criminally, you should not talk to the government. Okay? But if they are charging you with something civil, like a removal, and you don't want to spend money on a lawyer, I don't see any problem with it.
Yeah, because I haven't done anything fraud except like I attended all the classes online, and the only thing is I'm not in California, I am in Texas.
But have you...
So,
what address did you give the university?
Actually, I don't know which address the university have, but this is the address, the current address where I am living right now. That's the one they have. They have sent my I-20s, all the travel documents.
Yeah.
Like when I was going to India, I emailed them, okay, this is the address where I want you to send me my I-20, the travel I-20.
Go over your paperwork. Make sure that the paperwork reflects the right address.
Okay. I'm going to file AR-11 now just to make sure the officers know where I'm staying.
Exactly.
But when they come, does it make anything bad, or you know, without having an attorney or something like that?
Well, you see, look, I'll be honest with you, absolutely 100%. If you can get a lawyer, afford a lawyer, go ahead and get one. Not a bad idea. Okay. But if you cannot afford one, then the next thing is it criminal or civil? If it is just a civil thing, you haven't done anything wrong. Your address is right. Everything is right. You attended classes, even if it was online. No misrepresentations were made by you to the government or to the school.
You could
talk to the government. I don't see any problem with it. Okay?
Now,
this is not the advice a lot of lawyers will give you, simply because we are trained to try to protect you from every possible angle. Here, I have to strike a balance between having you spend money which you may not be able to afford in getting a lawyer and being exposed to some risk from the government. Are they going to prosecute 2,000 people? I don't think so.
Yeah, because we are in a situation of very, it's expensive to afford a lawyer, as you know. That's the reason
That's the reason I'm saying if you've done nothing wrong, there's nothing in your paperwork that says, you know, you've done something wrong, check your addresses, do your AR-11, and, you know, by all means, talk to the government. I don't see any problem with it. That's my opinion.
Okay. And is that the number that you have on your blog to contact you after this conversation?
I'm going to put on a memo that talks about how to contact ICE and what ICE has recommended. The reason I want people to contact ICE and put it down in writing is because it gives you some documentation of your good faith efforts.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you, Rajiv. Thank you for your information.
You're welcome.
Pusha, Indira.
Oh, no, Priya, you're next. Priya.
Oh, thank you, Rajiv. Hi Rajiv, I came here in 2009 to H4.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015 last year, I converted to H1, but I didn't do any work on my SSN. They can see that there are no payrolls are done. And one more thing, in my CPT also, it's a non-paid internship, it's an unpaid internship. So right now, up to now, they didn't raid my house. They didn't come. So what is the procedure to go for F1 to H4? I don't want to go into some risk. So I have to definitely go back to India and then stamping, or else there is any safe mode to apply the status from F1 to H4.
Look, there is no safe mode no matter what we do. If you apply
mm-hmm.
for F1 to H4 here, the government can hold
mm-hmm.
your case, and that's true for everybody. But we don't have a choice. Okay, you can apply for F1 to H4 here in USA, or
mm-hmm.
you can go back to India and try to get a visa stamping there. Even there, the government can hold you forever, okay? Because they could say the case is under investigation. Hang on. The case is under investigation, this and that. So the choice
mm-hmm.
is either we wait here for some period of time
mm-hmm.
or we have you wait in India. Personally, I would file an F1 to H4 chain of status here.
Oh, okay. And one more thing, if I try to move from here to India then here they may be asking my I-9 for or something that will reveal them like it's out of status. So it may prove any problem out there or else.
No, I don't think so. Make sure you send a letter, an email to the government where you are going to be and that you are going to fully cooperate with any investigations they have.
So if I file for export, then there will be no problem, right, Raji?
If you get an H-4 visa stamping and come in, you should be fine.
No, here, while applying through here. So
I don't know the answer to that question. If government wants to make an issue of it and they want to investigate this case for the next 10 months, 15 months, they can hold your case in abeyance.
So there will be no problem. Like someone told, like after 60 days, all this release, if you're staying, then
I don't see that. Because until they formally revoke your status, how can they just say, you are subject to being, the unlawful presence or something like that. I don't see anything the government can do without sending formal notification to everybody. That's
so
my
can
opinion.
I proceed on by, for change of status from F1 to H4 now?
That's what I would do. Look, we are all fighting blind here. These are situations where there's very little law that guides us on what to do. And the government has kept quiet about it, unfortunately. Okay? So you could wait.
And one thing,
ma'am, either you let me finish
okay,
or we're not
going
to get over this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
No, carry on.
So let me finish. So the answer is, all we are doing is making the best of very bad choices. You have many, many choices. They're all bad. I'm trying to find that is the least bad. Okay? So if you want to, you can apply for F1 to H4. You will probably be waiting for a long time, but at least you will be in USA. But make sure you inform the government. Or you can leave USA and wait outside USA for an H-4 visa stamping, which will also take a long time. But at least, maybe you are better protected if you're outside USA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And one more thing, even if saying like CVs is terminated, CVs and out of status, both are the same idea,
yes ma'am. But they have not sent you any formal notification, so they can't hold you to any really drastic measures like unlawful presence. That's my opinion.
Okay. And before call, I think Tony or someone, they said that he didn't change the address, but he mailed them like, I want my CPT to this mail address.
That's not good enough. Make sure you change your address formally or by using AIR 11.
Oh,
you're
fine. Yeah.
Hi.
Then,
I'll
go with the AIR 11 and... So after I'll apply for the export status. Then I'll hold the receipt number. Then I'll see like what happens.
Let's see what happens. How the situation develops. Pooja, you're next.
Hi Rajiv. Thank you, Rajiv. This is Pooja.
Yes, ma'am.
I came to US in 2008 on H4, and then I converted to TVU as a student. I completed my course, and I have applied for the OPT right now. So, I recently have converted to H4. I'm waiting for the receipt. So, what's my, if they grant my OPT, what will be the status? And if they won't, what will be the status?
They will not grant your OPT. If you have a conversion to H4 pending, if they do grant your H4, you will then be in H4. Before that, you are in no status. You are in authorized period of stay.
Okay. So do I call them and
I think it's fine to just email them. I don't see any problem with it. I just like the idea of having some written record of your efforts to maintain status.
Okay.
Hari
here. Yeah.
I heard Hari. Hari, go ahead.
Hi Raju. This is Hari. Actually, this is regarding my wife. I am on H1. My wife came here on H4 in 2008, and we changed it to H1 in between, like quite 6 months, and she then H4, now F1. Okay, right now,
I'm going to stop recording because I think we have enough information for everybody. Just hang on 1 second. We'll continue with the call, but I'll stop recording. 1 second.